Great to be here this morning for us to be able to gather together and worship our Lord. It's good to have you with us. If you're visiting with us, we're glad that you're here and look forward to getting to know you better. In these unusual circumstances, it makes it difficult sometimes to connect the way we want to connect, but I think God is aware of the thoughts and intentions of our heart, and He knows that we are doing what we can to please Him. If you were here last week, you noticed that we talked about elders' qualifications and that we're in the process of looking among ourselves to decide whether or not we have additional men who may qualify to serve as an elder. I encourage you, as did Darren a moment ago, to get one of those sheets or several of those sheets or whatever you need, and prayerfully and thoughtfully go through the qualifications and make your nominations. A lot of times when we talk about elders' qualifications, we emphasize one or two of the qualities to the neglect of the others. That's somewhat understandable. We tend to do that by human nature. Another thing that we do sometimes is talk about the qualifications of an elder without necessarily talking about the work of an elder. What does it mean to be an elder, a shepherd, an overseer? And that's very important, not only for the prospective elder, but also for our young people growing up and for all of us as a congregation to know how we then should respond in turn to them as they carry out their work and as we understand that they must do that. So our young people growing up, that's very important for them to understand. And so for a moment this morning, I want to observe just a few things about what the Bible says on the work of an elder. And I'm going to use primarily as our text Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. If you want to open your Bible to that opening, we will refer back and forth to it a number of times. I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version this morning. And as we look at the responsibility of the elder, we will get our points from this passage. He says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God which He obtained with His own blood." Pay close attention or careful attention to yourselves. The first responsibility of an elder is to himself. That may sound kind of strange. When the book of Acts was written on the day of Pentecost, Peter said, "Save yourselves from this crooked and perverse generation." Our first responsibility then is to save ourselves so that we might be able to save others. And so that puts it back in the proper perspective. Pay close attention to yourself. You're not going to be of any particular service to others if you do not pay attention carefully to yourself. That's not just to elders, though. It's to all of us, each one of us. As you look at the scriptures, you find in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 at verse 5, the Bible says, "Examine yourselves. See whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test?" And so Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, says, examine yourselves. Self-examination is an examination we all must make on a regular basis. Every time we read the Word of God, in fact, as we go to God in prayer, we examine ourselves. Galatians 6 says this, "Brethren, even if anyone is taken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness." Now notice this, "looking to yourselves, lest you too be tempted." So before you can help another, you have to examine yourself. That's just it's common sense in a manner of speaking, but it's so important for each one of us, and in particular for the one who serves as an elder. Now, Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 5, will be there a couple of times this morning as well. Peter, in chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, says, "Therefore I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, not yet as lording it over the flock, or lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock." The elder then is spiritually mature. He's a man who is growing in the faith. He's not reached the pinnacle where he sits atop the mountain and stays in a static condition. He is continuing to move forward into the likeness of Jesus Christ. But he is spiritually mature, and he is a man that others look to as an example that they might follow. And so when you talk about an elder, a shepherd, an overseer, we're talking about someone who is that kind of a man, the kind of a man who could be that example that people look up to. And not just because he meets the qualities that we mentioned last week, but a man who meets those qualities will naturally flow into being a man of an outstanding example for us to follow. So first one, be careful to pay attention to yourself. And the second responsibility is to pay careful attention to the church. Because that's what he says, pay careful attention to yourself and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God. Notice that you also pay careful attention to all the flock. Now that "all" is in there is somewhat significant, I think. It's to be the shepherd, to be the overseer, and the caretaker, the feeder of those who are on the fringe, so to speak. To be a shepherd over those who are wandering away, but also a shepherd to those who are faithful and dependable, and those whom we have an affinity toward because of common interests, and those who we don't know as well, and those who maybe we don't have so much a common interest in certain things in this life, but we have that common faith interest. And so it's to be paying a careful attention to all the flock. A shepherding is not shepherding unless there is some watching going on. A shepherd who is not watching is not shepherding. He's worthless in that capacity. Jesus is the good shepherd we read about in John chapter 10. And the good shepherd, Jesus identified as, is the one who lays down his life for the sheep. So a shepherd, an elder, an overseer is one who is sacrificial in carrying out the responsibilities given to him. The hireling Jesus mentions in John chapter 10 is the one who is first to flee when the wolf starts coming. The shepherd is there to watch over the flock and to protect the flock and care for the flock, and he will get between the flock and the opposing force that threatens the flock and lay down his life for the flock. The hireling is the one who gets out of dodge, just runs out of town quickly and gets away from the danger. So shepherds are self-sacrificing in their devotion. But he goes on from there, and he says this, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Overseers. So the responsibility then, going along with what we just said of an elder, is to oversee or watch over the spiritual well-being of the flock. You might remember that the context of Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 is significant. He's watching over, and Paul tells him to watch over and care for the flock, because he says there's coming a time when savage wolves will come into your midst not sparing the flock, speaking perverse things, and drawing disciples away after them. And so he admonishes the elders for that reason. Who knows but that this might have been his intention for calling them down to Miletus in the first place. Having known that this was going to be happening, he's giving them that rather strong warning and saying, you've got to get ready and you've got to be prepared. In a passage that also uses this expression, Hebrews 13 verse 17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. And the point we're getting from that is a watch over your souls, doesn't stop there, as those who will give an account. It's a serious responsibility, because if it's not met properly, there will be something to answer for on the day of judgment. Now, Peter writes again in 1 Peter chapter 5 about overseeing. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder, a fellow witness of the sufferings of Christ, a partaker of the glory that is to be revealed. He says, shepherd the flock of God among you. Not down the road, but among you. And then he says, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. Exercise oversight. That is imperative. That is a command given to the elders. They have that responsibility. And the type of oversight is clarified. It's to be voluntary, not under compulsion, but something that they want to do for God and for His family, the church. It is something to be done eagerly, not for sordid gain, that is, not because it can get you ahead financially, not because it can get you ahead politically or socially or in any other way. It's done eagerly for the sake of souls and for the sake of glorifying the Father through His kingdom, the church. And not as lording it over those allotted to our charge. It's not a dictatorial position, but it's a leading and leading by example. It's getting out in front and primarily then leading in that way. When you think about the oversight elders exercise over the church, it reminds me a little bit of what Jesus said to the disciples, who were always kind of arguing about who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus had many things to say about that. One of the principles he taught in Matthew chapter 20 is he referred to the rulers of the Gentiles, and he said, you know that they lord it over them. In other words, in the regular life outside of the church, you have the guy in charge who tells the people under his charge, do this and do that. And if they don't, then there are consequences to pay. We understand that. And he said, their great men exercise authority over them. And then he said, it is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. And notice the next part. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. Jesus, the example, the Lord, the Christ, the exalted one, the preeminent one, who has the right to tell us what to do and has told us what to do in His Word, is the one also who was the leader in serving and picking up the towel of service. And so Peter is writing to say, take all this into mind, and as you exercise oversight, don't forget to be examples. Don't forget about servanthood as well. And then an elder must take care of the church of God. You see in the passage in Acts 20, he says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. For what purpose? Notice this, to care for the church of God, which He obtained with His own blood. I like the version purchased with His own blood better. But to, as He says, care for the church of God. We wanted to emphasize that expression. King James has to feed the flock. So you care for, part of that is feeding the flock. New American Standard has to shepherd the church of God. So when we look at those, caring for the flock, as the elders are supposed to pay careful attention to themselves and to the flock, and as they care for that flock, he talks about the idea of caring for them by feeding them and taking care of their needs. Now, we would have to say that one of the primary functions and responsibilities of an elder is to feed the flock. But as they tend to the needs of the flock for nourishment, there might also be other things. There might be wounds or scars that need to be cared for. There might be personal things that need to be taken care of to bring them back into the flock. So both of those things are needed. But you know, an elder, one of the qualifications we mentioned last week was the qualification that he must be able to teach. And in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 2, that was in the context of a warning. A warning about false teachers coming in among those in the flock. And it seems like as you look at the New Testament, you see that in Acts 20, you see that now in 1 Timothy as well. The book has a lot to do with false teaching. And then he mentions the elder here and then also in Titus as one who is able to know the truth well enough to be able to refute the false teacher, to recognize it and to combat it. That's an important factor in this matter of serving as an elder. Later in the chapter, in Acts 20, verse 32, Paul's getting ready to leave. There's a few more words to say. But he says, "Now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." Paul is leaving, and so who's he going to put in charge of these elders? God is going to be in charge. Elders are under shepherds. God's in charge, and the word of God's grace is what enables them to carry out their function. But they're to care for the church. And how we should appreciate all the sacrifices that elders make and all of the sleepless nights that elders have to go through and all that the elders have to deal with in their role as elders, to know that they care for us is an immeasurable blessing. Paul himself cared for the church greatly, and he reminded these elders what it meant to care. In Acts 20, verse 33, he said, "I have coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes." That is, Paul hadn't done it for material blessings. He said, "You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own needs and to the men who were with me. In everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of our Lord Jesus, who said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" So Paul is saying this is what it means to care. It's hard work to care. And it's hard work to serve as an elder. The elders who rule well, Paul said, should be considered worthy of double honor. And then he adds, especially those who work hard at teaching and preaching. That's kind of interesting because it tells us that elders can preach and teach. And it also explains that that's hard work, or that's part of the hard work that he's involved in this passage. Now, I know that sometimes people might think that, well, you can get up a message pretty easy. You just get up on Sunday morning and hope the internet works and get on there and grab something and go. You know, that's just not really how it works. I mean, it doesn't work very well that way anyway. But it is hard work. It does take some work on our part. And he talks about elders in this regard, about their hard work at preaching and in teaching. I want to present a new thought to you. Maybe it's new, maybe it's not. Elders are teachers. We've already mentioned that. They're able to teach. And when we think about elders as teaching, you think about Ephesians, in chapter 4 of Ephesians, a great chapter that talks about many members in one body and everybody working together for the unity and growth of the church. And in that respect, before we get to that, earlier in that chapter, he mentions Christ's gifts to the church. And if I summarize, it would be this way. He gave the apostles, he gave the prophets, he gave the evangelists, and he gave the shepherds and teachers. When you look at that, the article "the" occurs before each of those first three statements. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists. But then you have the shepherds and teachers. They share an article, indicating that those two go together, shepherds and teachers. That the shepherds are also teachers in the Lord's body. And I think we need to get back to that idea that our shepherds teach the congregation. They feed the congregation. And they may use others to help with that. They may have some teach Bible class and have others preach. They may have others come in and do special lessons, but they are teachers and facilitate the teaching of the church. They're not going to allow the congregation to graze among poisonous weeds. It is the role of the elder to step in and say, no, that's not good. That kind of teaching is not going to help us. That kind of teaching is poisonous. It's not up to the flock to say, I'll just eat whatever I want to eat whenever I want to eat it. You know, that kind of thing. And so I'll start this class or that class or whatever, and it may be out of bounds, offline, you know, just poisonous. And the elders have the responsibility to oversee that. Elders must watch over that teaching carefully, because what we believe determines how we live. And then again, caring for the church involves helping the weak. That's what Paul said. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak, not only financially, economically, but also spiritually as well. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13 for a moment. Concerning the elders' care for the church, he says, "But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you, have charge over you in the Lord, and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live at peace with one another." Now, if you want to look at that passage carefully, I believe it has to do with elders. Why? They have charge over you in the Lord. They give you instruction. They diligently labor among you. If it's not talking about elders, then I'm not sure who it's talking about. But certainly that's the idea we get here. Hard work is described here. And among those things that are mentioned, giving you instruction and giving you admonishment. The work of an elder involves admonishment. Admonishment, by definition, is both positive and negative. It's positive in the sense that you can be admonished by being encouraged, right? And sometimes you can be admonished by being reproved. You know, either way, it can go both ways. And so the elders have that responsibility. In verse 14, he goes on to say, "We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone." You apply that to the elders, but it has application to all of us because we all have that responsibility as well. But think about that, admonishing the unruly. Encourage him to come back in line with the truth. Encouraging the faint-hearted, those about ready to give up and weary. Helping those who are weak. Showing patience toward everyone. This is why the church is so important, because as members of the church, and particularly among the leadership of the church, we're trying to keep ourselves together following Jesus Christ. Now, having discussed that very briefly now, let's turn the tables a moment and just talk about responsibilities of members. Because with each responsibility given to an elder, there's a corresponding responsibility that we have as members. For example, if elders are responsible to pay careful attention and watch over the flock, then as members, we must place ourselves in a position where we will be willing and responsive to the oversight of the elders. Do I need to repeat that again, or does that make sense? If elders are to have oversight, we need to be willing to be overseen. All right? And so with that thought in mind, every child of God, every Christian, when it is possible, when there is a faithful congregation around, we are responsible to be members of a congregation. We are the church universal, but we also have to be the church in the local congregation. We have to be part of that church, members of that church. The idea of being a member of the church, but not really being associated with any particular congregation, presents some problems. You're not responsible to anyone. And so you're drifting back and forth, back and forth. It's important to identify with a congregation and be under the oversight of elders. We need it. We need someone to be watching over us. And the elders have that responsibility. The second thing I would mention is this. If the elders have a responsibility that includes admonition, to encourage and admonish, then as members, we need to be willing to be encouraged. We say, yeah, I'm willing to be encouraged, but also willing to be admonished, corrected if necessary, if the way I'm going or the way I'm thinking or the way I'm understanding things is incorrect. And so that's important, to be willing to be admonished. You think about that for a moment. You cannot just leave every time someone says something you don't agree with. You know, it's kind of like growing up as a child, I knew that when mom or dad said something, it applied. I couldn't say, well, you know, I think I'll just go live next door for a while. They might have said, well, pack your bags and go. But, you know, in our house, you know, you had to follow the admonition. And I think that's true. We need to willingly, not forcefully, but willingly submit ourselves to the elders. Peter said that to the younger men. Be subject to your elders. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they give watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. It's willing submission. And it's connected to the fact that here is an eldership, or these are men of God qualified according to 1 Timothy and Titus, and they are examples to the flock, and they love us and they care for us and they're watching out for us and they're sacrificial toward us. Why would we not be willing to submit to them? But let me just add one point. And this is you can think about it for a bit. Elders don't become disqualified just because we don't agree with them. That's absolutely the truth. I mean, those elders are just the best possible men. They are so qualified for the job. And then they decide to do something in a way that we didn't want to do it. Nothing unscriptural about it. But they decide to go a different route and take a different path. And all of a sudden we say, those men are just not qualified anymore. Well, what are you setting yourself up as a judge for? We are to submit and subject ourselves to the elders, except for one thing. If they decide to do something or teach something that's false, then we must obey God rather than men. Acts 5, verse 29. A third point we'll make about members. If elders have a responsibility to feed the flock, members have a responsibility to be fed. And even apart from elders, that's true. We're to be like newborn babes longing for the pure milk of the word. But we need to be able to be fed. You know, the Bible talks about not forsaking our assembling together as is the habit of some in Hebrews 10, verse 25. And the context of that is amazingly alarming when you read it carefully. What you understand is that willful sin in absenting ourselves from the assembly amounts to the repudiation of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. We don't want to be in that situation. And so we want to make ourselves available for teaching. Of course, the meeting together on the Lord's Day, as we are this morning, is something that Jesus commands us to do on the first day of every week, to partake of the Lord's Supper and to engage in the five acts of worship as we are. But other times the elders may choose to teach us on a weekday, like Wednesday night, or it could be on a Tuesday night, or it could be some other time. And the elders have but two choices. When they think about the well-being of the church, remember that we're not scripturally married to Wednesday night and Sunday night services. We are absolutely commanded to meet on the Lord's Day for what we are doing this morning. But if the elders decided to meet every day of the week in order to meet our needs, and we were willing to do that, willing and saw that, then that's what we should do. And so when we meet on Wednesday night or Sunday night, I know right now we're in this strange situation that we are, but these are just ways that the elders have decided, you know, to get through the week, I think we need to have one more service halfway through the week to study the Word of God. And that may be sort of a tradition. It's a good one, but it may be a tradition that we've gotten into to help us with prayer and study and all of that. So that's a good thing. So the point is, if they have the responsibility to feed us, then they need to be looking for what it is that we need. As they get to know us and find a particular area that we are weak in, they themselves may teach us. They may get the preacher to teach us. They may get the Bible classes to do something about that. They may bring in somebody to teach a seminar or a gospel meeting or whatever it is. But they're, hopefully this is the way we operate. We find the need, the circumstance, and then the teaching is designed to fill that need and help that to be met. And so when that happens, we need to be willing to be fed. That's so important. One other thing, if elders have the responsibility to know the flock, according to John chapter 10, then as members of the flock, as the sheep in the flock, we must be willing to be known by our shepherds. It goes both ways, doesn't it? A lot of times the problems that we have in the church are the result of the shepherd not knowing the sheep and the sheep not knowing the shepherd. But the responsibility goes both directions. There's a mutual responsibility to be willing to have the elders visit you, or to be willing to go meet and talk to the elders at the building, whatever it is. That's an important consideration, to be known by the elders and for them to know us. But I want to close with a few verses we've already talked about, but just focus on a different word or different phrase. 1 Thessalonians 5:12-13. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord, and give you instruction, that you esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Live in peace with one another. Notice our responsibility to appreciate, to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Notice also in 1 Timothy 5:17, concerning elders who rule well, being considered of double honor, he says, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. Double honor. Some think that means that they had paid elders. They may have. But just kind of the idea of giving them honor, but giving them even more honor. And then in Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders and submit to them. They keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. And then he says, let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Do your best. Make a commitment on your part to make it a joy for them to carry out their responsibility. Now, I might say this. If we want elders in the future, we need to do a better job of appreciating them in the present. You know, if you go home and over the lunch table, you're crucifying the preacher and the elders and having them for dinner and talking bad about them, you be careful about that, because Junior is going to hear that And he's never going to want to be an elder or a preacher. You're not going to want to have any leadership position. Instead, we need to be praying for these men, praying for our shepherds, and praying for them as they conduct their work and they labor among us, and make sure that those around us hear that. Not that they become the topic of our gossip or slander, but they be the topic of our praise and appreciation. That is what's going to help the church in the long run. So our goal, whether elders or preachers or members or whatever, our goal individually as Christians is to grow into the likeness of Jesus. In what we think, to think as Christ thought, as he thinks. To speak as he spoke, and to do as he did. That's our goal, everything that we're about. But we must first come to Christ before we can proceed on that journey. We come to him through faith, repentance, and baptism. We come into Christ, buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. If we wander away from the flock, we can come back. We can't hide underneath a pile of brush somewhere and wait till somebody comes and finds us, but the Word of God comes to us, and we read it and we study it, and God calls us through his Word to come back. If you need the prayers of the church, we're here to do that. If you need to identify as a member of the congregation, we'd be glad to talk to you about that. But as we draw the lesson to a close, let's just be encouraged that we're not about following the preacher's opinions. That doesn't matter. All I've done this morning is just take a few scriptures and just read them. And that's how we operate here in the church. We just want to follow the Word of God. Whatever we say, whatever we do, to just follow the Word of God. If you need to respond and we can help you, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.